Tube Talk on WRCA Radio starts right now.
Thank you.
That's Glenn Miller and his orchestra with the American Patrol. Whenever I play that, you know, I play Glenn Miller. You hear a lot of Glenn Miller, but there used to be a guy up here who sold, used to sell office furniture, and his motto was, how can you wear out gold? You know, even though it's used, you can't wear out gold, and you can't wear out Glenn Miller. Soloists on that piece, that was a 1942 Bluebird recording. Maurice Pertill on the drums and Billy May on the trumpet. I'm Paul Burish. It's Friday night. It's Tube Talk. Welcome aboard, gang. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you from the banks of the Charles River, home of the 2013 World Series baseball champions. Yes, folks, we love our Red Sox, and we love that dirty water. Up here in Boston. You remember the Standells? So welcome to Tube Talk. And I brought this idea in my head a couple of weeks ago, and I apologize if I've gone over this again, but it came up, so I'm going to give it to you guys as well here, guys and gals. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we had somebody on, and we were talking, Steve McVoy, yes, not somebody. We had an esteemed guest, Steve McVoy, from the radio, Early Radio and Television Museum. And we were talking about phone vision and the high cost of cable TV. So as I was watching non-cable TV over the air on a retro channel up here and watching an episode of Cannon, remember Cannon with William Conrad? You know, I was wondering why I'm watching this. Well, you know, basically it was the best thing on. And, you know, if you remember when there was only network TV, there wasn't really much choice, but, you know, usually there was something okay to watch. You know, now we've got 200 channels. Nothing on. We sit there, we drool, we've got the clicker, and, you know, other than the fact we pay for it out of our pocket, what's the difference? So, you know, I don't know why. Maybe it's because they're, you know, people could write scripts up until the 1970s. You know, we had still had script writers. People who were casting these shows, they didn't always rely on pretty faces. Ask yourself today, when did you see someone, you know, kind of ugly get a lead on a current show? I mean, it's a big deal if they do. So, you know, I think of William Conrad, not a handsome-looking dude, but a great voice, you know, an incredible voice. And here he is, Frank Cannon. Now, he was a radio star, and he was a radio star for a reason. You know, he never really made it in TV in the early days when radio went to TV. He did come back as Frank Cannon. So I'm thinking about this. Humphrey Bogart. You know, he had what it took. He was a good-looking guy in sort of a tough-hewn type of a way, but would he be handsome enough for movies today or TV? I don't know. Sidney Greenstreet, Peter Lorre, Rondo Hatton, if you remember the Shropshire Creeper from Sherlock Holmes. Well, you know, I think years ago we used to be more tolerant of people who looked like, you know, basically who looked like us, who looked like me. In this world of plastic surgery, airbrushing, digital touch-up, we can only accept handsome, good-looking people on television and movies. What about Shemp Howard? Look at that nose. Could he make it today with a schnoz like that? If he was starting out today, he would not be pretty enough, and we would have been deprived of the talents of a Shemp Howard. So, you know, it just kind of made me go, you know, I love the world of radio. It really doesn't matter what we look like. A decent voice, not good looks, rules the day. And that's just another reason I love radio and radios. And, you know, by the way, we'll get into this later later episodes here. Did you know vacuum tube radios can cure seasonal affective disorder as the days get a little shorter and a lot colder? So stay tuned on that one. It has to do with tube glow and dial lights. It's a fascinating subject, and we'll be conducting some extensive research right here on Tube Talk. I Happy New World Gold.
My day, bend an ear and listen to my version
of a really solid Tennessee excursion.
Pardon me, boy, is that the Chattanooga juju?
Yes, yes, track 29.
Boy, you can give me a shine.
Can you afford to board Chattanooga choo-choo?
I got my fare
and just a trifle to spare.
You leave the Pennsylvania station about a quarter to four, read a magazine and then you're in Baltimore.
Dinner in the diner, nothing could be finer
than to have your ham and eggs in Carolina.
When you hear the whistle blowing eight to the bar, then you know that Tennessee is not very far.
Shovel all the coal in, gotta keep it rolling.
Ooh, ooh, Chattanooga, there you are.
There's gonna be a certain party at the station.
Satin and lace.
I used to call Funny Face. She's gonna cry until I tell her that I'll never roam.
So, Chattanooga choo-choo,
won't you choo-choo me home?
Chattanooga, Chattanooga,
get aboard.
Chattanooga, Chattanooga,
all aboard.
Chattanooga, Chattanooga, Chattanooga choo-choo,
won't you choo-choo me home?
Chattanooga choo-choo.
Yes, Chattanooga Choo Choo. Tex Beneke, the Maudenaires, and Paula Kelly filling in on the vocal work because Marion Hutton was out on maternity leave. Imagine that. That's a recording from May of 1941 in Hollywood, USA. So imagine that. Just another gold standard here on Tube Talk. This is Cab Calloway. It is for Eric. I hope you like it.
A jitterbug, first thing you must do is get a jug. Put whiskey, wine, and gin within and shake it all up. And then begin, grab a cup and start to toss. You are drinking jitter sauce. Don't you worry, you just mug and then you'll be a jitterbug. Hear this fat boy blowing his horn. He's been a bug since the day was born. His favorite jitter sauce is rye. Swell, drink it till the day he die. Toot your whistle and ring your bell. Oh, butchie, butchie, time will tell. Don't you worry, you just mug, you'll always be a jitterbug. These four boys playing saxophone, water, jitter, sauce, my phone. Central, give me a holler, 494. I think these bugs can drink some more. They drink sauce some more tonight. They never stop until they're tight. Don't you worry, they just mug their four little jitterbugs. Now here's old father, a wicked old man. Drinks more sauce than the other bugs can. He drinks jitter sauce every morn. That's why jitter sauce was born. See him shake with his trombone. Just can't leave that sauce alone. Get along, father, you just mug. You'll always be a jitterbug. As Rip there with his eyes a twinkle, we named him after Rip Van Winkle. Like Rip, he'd sweep for 20 years if he could get his fill of beer. Rip drinks his sauce, gets on the stand, soon forgets that he's in the band. Don't awaken him, just let him bug. You'll always be a jitterbug. All bugs out, all bugs out.
Maniac. That's Cab Calloway from 1934. Eric, that one's for you. Hoped you enjoyed Mr. Cab. Ladies and gentlemen, Tube Talk is very happy to present tonight Mr. Paul Sanders of PaulSandersClassicRadios.com, and you can also find some of his nifty radios on the Radio Attic in his booth there. Paul, welcome to Tube Talk. Thanks for coming on tonight.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Hey, you know, as Mr. Peabody would say to Sherman, let's get in the Wayback Machine and just go back to square one here. How did you first get started? What was your interest in classic radios? What got you involved in the hobby?
I come by it honestly. My father was literally a 50-year radio collector of some note here in the Midwest.
Well, that's great. I mean, it's a family tradition then. So did he leave you some great sets?
He actually did. He left. My father would actually fit the classic definition of a hoarder. We had thousands of sets left when he passed.
Oh, my. Now, just out of curiosity, what did he do for a living? Was he in a technical field, or was radio just sort of an escape for him, a hobby?
He was a professor of education, mathematics education.
Well, that's great. You know, I mean, you find a lot of people from a lot of different backgrounds. You know, sometimes I'll go in these shows, you know, I meet engineers, and then I meet people who worked in, history professors. I've seen people who are career military, and, you know, there's always somebody's an interesting way that they get into the hobby. So that's really super. What do you find, what's compelling to you? I mean, obviously, you've kind of kept that family love of radios alive. What do you find compelling about these old set? What draws you to refinish and restore them?
For me, essentially, it's the element of design. Because the era that I'm interested in mostly is from the late 20s to the early 40s, and there were just some designs that just absolutely blew it out of the ballpark. They were exuberant. They were not necessarily on the most expensive radios, but they were classic American design, and that's what appeals to me. The eye appeal, the just plain old, you know, it's a 37 chord. It just looks great.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. It's sort of that high Art Deco phase, you know, that sort of what a lot of people would tell you is the apex, you know, of American radio, both from the technical side of things and from the design side of things. Now, do you belong to a radio group or a club out there to help keep your contacts up and everything?
I belong to the Antique Radio Forum, which I highly recommend to anyone interested in. We do have a local club here. I'm in Wisconsin, and we have a local club in Milwaukee that's not as active as I'd like, but is active, and I go down there every once in a while and see what they're doing.
Very good. Very good indeed. So, you know, when did you actively start selling on the Radio Attic? Because it seems like you've been on there for a little while before you launched your own site. When did you get started conveying some of these beautiful radios to the public?
I believe it was about 4.5 years ago. I was a, victim of the big recession and found myself in a position where my old job was no longer viable and I needed to create a new one. And having the interest in the radios and the stock, that's what got me going.
Well, you know, I have to encourage people, if you're not familiar with Mr. Sanders' sites, either at The Attic or at PaulSandersClassicRadio.com, go check some of this stuff out, because this is the inspiring stuff. The woodwork is so beautifully done, and the restorations are so complete. You know, you look at it, and it's almost like an online museum. And for me, at least, you know, it gives me something to aspire to. I have a couple of sets that have cabinets that look almost as good as some of yours, but that's only because I had somebody else do them. But, you know, every collection should have something like that. It's just an absolute showpiece. You put that in a room, you invite over a few friends, and I defy them, you know, not to come over and say, hey, what's this? This is a beautiful-looking thing. And they really are. I mean, you really have some very nice-looking sets there. And now, when did you launch your website? I saw the 2013 little tab down there. Is that a fairly new venture for you?
It's been about 6 months now, and like all things tech, it took me a little while to learn how to work it, while to get used to doing it, and I'm open for great things. It's, as you say, it's somewhat of a museum of my work. Hopefully, I'll be adding a section of my father's collection, and so there'll be a reason to visit besides just buying one of old Paul's radios.
Well, you know, out of curiosity, I have to ask you, because the woodwork is really breathtaking. Now, is that something that in a past career you've done woodwork, or was it always a hobby of yours, or how did you get that skill set to do some of that that fine wood finishing, wood refinishing?
Well, I spent approximately 35 years in the construction industry. Started out as a carpenter, cabinet builder, building to a general contractor. So, yes, those are the skills I bring to this cabinet.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense, because they're really very stunning to look at. And, again, you know, a cabinet, you seem to pick a lot of good sets to work on. And when I say that, I mean things that are kind of striking to begin with, and then with a nice refinish and, you know, a cleanup. I mean, they just really, they do the hobby justice. It's, you know, something we should all be proud of to have when somebody says, who wants to go around and look at stinky old Andy? Well, they say, okay, you know, you just think this is about my basement. Let me show you some real good stuff. So you've got some stuff to be proud of. Now, before we go any further here, we just want to remind everyone, you have found the zenith of the independently produced fine radio experience. We bring you music, conversation, and vintage radio opinion every Friday night on WRCA, 1330 AM. This is Tube Talk. Our guest is Paul Sanders. And let's talk about some of the sets. And it's funny, the Detrola Egyptian T2 is just, anybody I know who has one or has been exposed to one loves to talk about them. You have a beautiful looking one on your site, and Detrola has sort of a cult following, and probably because of some of the, just, you know, the highly stylized stuff. But that's also a very good radio. It's 8 tubes and a tuning eye. Where did you find that? Was that something you had always had, or did you have to dig that one up somewhere?
Actually, I've kind of made them a specialty and kind of a luxury of riches here. I have several of them.
And, oh, wow. Good for you.
I was very lucky to find that one in, actually, Milwaukee. It was advertised on our local Craigslist, and I jumped on it like
I can imagine. That's it.
Went down and picked it up and was lucky to find that it was just in very, very nice original condition. The grill cloth was completely intact, no damage to the cabinet, and I was just in hog heaven, as we say here, just let me at this thing.
Yeah, those are prized sets. Our friend, we've talked to a fellow down here, he's from the Delaware Valley Historical Radio Club, Mike Costa, and he has one.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
He loves that thing, and he's, you know, I mean, I think he's at the point now with collecting that he just wants to have some of the creme de la creme, and he just doesn't want to have a lot of stuff, but what he has, he wants to have nice stuff. And the Detrola is just, you know, a lot of times when I see something and I say, how unusual or how striking or how different, it turns out that it needs to be a Detrola. And, you know, one of the other things I noticed on your site is you mentioned Plant A Radio, and maybe you can enlighten me a little bit. What was Plant A? Was that like Aetna Radio? I know Aetna made stuff for Walgreens, or was Plant A an independent company that made house brand stuff?
Well, you certainly have the key to the answer with Aetna. The Chicago was the hub of radio manufacturing.
It certainly
in
was.
The late 30s and actually into the 50s. And there were these, and I have no clue as to how they arrived at the designation, but there was a Plant A, a Plant B that specialized in churning out radios for basically house brands. You had a department store, a gas station, whoever you were, you could go to them, choose a cabinet, choose a radio, put your name on it, and you could sell it.
Yeah, and some of the stuff is very nice. Yeah, and some of the stuff that, you know, from what I've heard, you know, it's good stuff. I mean, it's even though it's house brand stuff, so thanks for answering that one for me, because you always wonder sometimes, you know, who made these store brands and the like. And you're right on Chicago, too. I mean, we've had a lot of people on from Archie before, and, you know, Zenith, Allied Knight, Belmont, Motorola, which was Galvin, I guess, in the early days, Howard, Stuart Warner, which is one of my favorites. And, you know, just an awful lot of activity out there. Now, you also have a very nice specimen of a Zenith 7S433 Zephyr, and it's just a looker all around. And I'm really taken by the deco style of the numerals, you know, on the dial face there. And that's a nice set. I mean, it's seven tubes. It's got a nice six-inch speaker, I think. And does that sound as good as it looks? That is a swell-looking set.
It sounds great, and one of the nice things, the innovation that's probably overlooked, is the antenna, the internal antenna, which was a huge first at the time. It completely liberates you from the,
sure,
the strand of wire, up the window, out the door, forget it. The thing just rocks.
Yeah.
Picking up stations right and left. It's an amazing little radio.
Yeah, and it's a, you know, another hometown favorite there, Zenith, right from Chicago. Now, you have a Climax, an Emerald, on the attic site that you maintain. And, I mean, that's a I mean, I've never seen one of those at any show or swap meet I've been to. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's a rare, but it's also a very pretty set. And I've seen Climax, I've seen a Climax set. It's in sort of a teardrop shape, and it has a tuning eye in the tip of the drop, and just, again, it's a very striking-looking set. And it's one of these manufacturers that, you know, sort of get lost in the shuffle. You'll see these things, and I from what I gather, they're both very collectible. Where did you ever come up with that Climax? How'd you find that one?
That was the culmination of about 2 years' worth of looking. And
wow, a treasure hunt.
Just by coincidence, one of the gentlemen I used to restore my chassis, it walked through his door.
Wow.
And he called me right away and said, "What do you want to do?" And I said, "Grab it. I don't care. Grab it."
Yeah. You know, it's interesting sometimes, you know, for all the time and effort people spend scouring antique store secondhand, and they go to swap meets, and they, you know, are on Craigslist and eBay, and there's something that they want to find. And then I'll talk to people, like, I know the guys down in New Jersey have these radio clinics, and they have them up in Michigan too. I talked to Mark Oppett about it, and sometimes people will bring something in, it's found in the attic or Uncle Henry's basement, and he says, you know, a lot of times some of the stuff we see is, you know, 5 and 6 tube radios and plastic sets. And so it does, you know, sometimes it's, you know, they're all fun, but, you know, it's almost mundane. He says, then something like that would walk in, and you just, everybody in the room looks at each other. Wow,
well,
you know, that's cool.
Yeah, the website actually attracts some of that. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, someone wrote me asking the value of a very, very rare Zenith H2669, which is a 22-tube set from 1942, less than 800 made. And long story short, a friend of mine went and got it and was just thrilled. Perfect condition. But you're right. It's the serendipity of the call, the spark of the moment, just pure dumb luck. That's how you find some of the good ones.
Now, there's another one you have in there I saw. It's a Midwest CC-18, and is, you know, people tease me on my Boston accent, you know, would say, that's wicked awesome. You know, that's just a really cool-looking set. I mean, it's got the two-tone woodwork, and Midwest is another one of these deco finds. I mean, it's an iconic brand for a lot of the people who like deco stuff. And where did you stumble on that one?
That was actually a trade that I made between another longtime collector who I know, And I've always wanted a Midwest. I've had table sets Midwest, but never a console like that. So we arranged a trade because he knew I wanted it, of course,
sure.
And I had to give up something nice. And I just poured the coal to the finishing because you're right. It's forgetting my restoration work. It's just a dang good design that hardly anybody could screw up if you tried to work on it. It's hard to make that look bad.
Now, one thing I've noticed here, and I may be able to answer my own question, but a lot of your radios that you have done work on have tuning eyes. Now, is that because you're particularly drawn to sets with tuning eyes, or is it just that that was sort of the grabber from that time period? You know, a lot of manufacturers use that as sort of the icing on the cake. They were trying to compete with all the others who had it, so we'll have them too. But I notice you have a lot of eyes. Is that something you really go for?
It is. It's like eye candy to me. I love it.
Yeah, I mean,
I just love them.
Yeah, it's great when you have a nicely lit dial in a darkened room, especially this time of the year. You know, it's getting dark at 4:30 around here. So you come home, and it's easier to sit in a room that's a little dark. You put on a nice set with a nice dial. That can look sharp anyway. Then you add the dimension of a tuning eye to go along with it. Well, you know, it's just nirvana for some of us. So, no, it's and again, it's something that's very characteristic of sets from that era. Now, do you have any manufacturers that you really like or you really try to go after, or does it really just hinge on the set and the way the set looks and the time frame the set's from?
I'm a huge fan of Arvin, and I recently completed a long-time quest for the... I've had the Rhythm Queen console.
Uh-huh.
I found the Rhythm King console.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have had an example of the complete Arvin line for 1936.
Now, didn't they have, what was it, a Rhythm Baby and a Rhythm... There was some tabletop versions, too, right?
A Rhythm Baby, Rhythm Bachelor, which was a chairside version.
Cool.
And Rhythm Bell. And they were basically three varieties of tabletop, scaled from small to zenith size, and then they moved to their consoles. I never ran across the Arvin Master, which is their entry-level console. It doesn't have an eye tube, and it's a low tube count, etc. But it has the styling licks of the Rhythm King, and so.
Now, I thought just ran through my head here. Occasionally, one does, and we you said Arvin, you know, I mean. Arvin's kind of an interesting, unique brand in its own right, but if you're an Arvin guy, you might be able to answer this to me. Is Arvin also the company that was making space heaters? Because, I mean, I used to see Arvin space heaters when I was a kid. And did they ever do, like, radiators and stuff? Because I can remember seeing Arvin names in auto shops. I always like that name because it's sort of a unique, and you know, you can kind of throw it at some people, and they've never heard of it before. Somewhere I actually have, and I will bore the audience with one night, an alphabetical list. I think there's a radio company for every, actually more than one radio company for each letter in the alphabet. So, you know, yep. So we have to go with that. But I mean, Arvin has, you know, that sort of that peak period in the 30s, and I have some ads, you know, with some of the Arvin sets and stuff, and they were quite competitive, and it seems like they were fairly popular too in their day. So, so another nice brand that you don't hear too much going, you know, too much going on with sometimes. You know, you'll see it at a show, but. I don't think I've seen one recently. Usually I see those, I'll find them like on the web or somewhere in like a spot in your attic, and or I'll see the old ads, you know, when I get the old magazines or the old radio publications and the like. So do you have a particular find, something that might wow the audience, the craziest place you've ever found a radio or the weirdest way you've ever got a radio?
Actually, yes. Once again, I was on Craigslist searching over the state of Wisconsin. And I come across an ad for and a very poor picture of a black Zenith 12A58. That's what's called in our hobby the poor man's stratosphere.
Uh-huh.
It's a 12-tube, two-chassis, two-speaker set. So I call them up, drive up there, and honest to goodness, there it is, a real ebony Zenith console. The silver dial, the knobs with the silver inset, all black, all complete. and that ended up being about an hour and a half away from me. And just because I was bored on a Saturday afternoon and decided to look through Craigslist.
Well, you know, it's interesting because for all the time that, you know, people will say, you know, they'll troll and they'll troll and they'll troll and they'll troll, you know, it's good to know that once in a while somebody hits the jackpot. So anyway, Paul, I just have to say it's great that you're keeping the hobby alive up there in Wisconsin. Do you think I talk funny, by the way?
Well, I don't really have a Wisconsin accent, so if I did, we'd be comparing accents.
Yeah, well, I've been told my Boston accent isn't too bad, but then I'll say certain words like or a phrase, put the bumper sticker on the car, and, you know, then, oh, no, not him. But I really try to work on it because I know we have listeners everywhere, so I don't want them to, you know, look down on the show because I can't pronounce my R's. So anyway, thanks for being on and telling us about some of your sets and your sites. Anybody who's listening who's interested, please check out Paul's booth in the Radio Attic. You'll see some super stuff, and you can see some stuff for sale there as well. And then the website, the new and beautiful website, is paulsandersclassicradios.com. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Very good. Hey, thanks a bunch for being on. I really appreciate it. And you keep those cabinets gleaming and the tubes glowing up there in Wisconsin. We appreciate it.
Bob, it's been my pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Take care, Paul. Good night now.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Paul Sanders, for being our guest this evening. Thanks for sharing some stories about your sets and telling us a little bit about how you bring them back to life, because, folks, that's what it's all about, keeping radio alive, bringing back those classic sets, having a good time doing it, a lot of fun talking about it, and celebrating our musical and entertainment heritage each and every Friday night with some Tube Talk right here on WRCA 1330 AM. That was Henry Mancini.
When we played our charade, we were like children posing, playing at games, acting guessing the parts we play.
Thanks, Andy. Les and Larry Elgart with their interpretation of Caravan right here on Tube Talk. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to email the program, let us know what you think. TubeTalk1@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. And if you've ever wondered about how you could get more involved or find out more about the world of antique radio, why not visit NEARC.net? That's NEARC.net. That's the website of the New England Antique Radio Club, and you can find some information about our different events, our organization. If you are remotely interested, you may wish to join. It's a modest, very modest dues. We have a big event coming up, and I know it's early, but, you know, in 2014, in February, February 16th, 8 a.m. to 12 noon, the Westford Regency Inn in Westford, Mass., It's Radio 45, one of the biggest winter radio events on the East Coast. We'd love to see you. Even if it snows, we'll be there. There'll be over 80 tables, more than 50 exhibitors, interesting people to chat about radio and radios with. First-hand stuff, you know, you can touch it, you can feel it, you can look at it. They'll tell you where they found it, if they fixed it, if they've restored it. It's a good place to go and spend a little time on a cold, wintry February day. Get out of the house. Come on down and see us. Visit NEARC.net for more details.
Feathers flew. You're running a while, kicking up your heels, leaving me home with a handful of bills. I can't live without you when you know it's true, but there's no living with you, so what'll I do? I'm going honky-tonk and get as tight as I can. Maybe by then you'll appreciate a good man. Attention, don't you dare forget, 'cause you're certainly not just a little puppy yet. I caught you honky-tonking with my best friend. What I should have done was quit you way back then. Now I'm too old to leave you, but I still get sore when you come home a feeling for the knob on the door.
Why, Baby, Why? Red Sovine and Webb Pierce. That's from 1956. It was number one on the Billboard country chart for 4 weeks. Kind of like something you'd hear on that fabled WLS, playing a little country music. Country was big on classic radio, and we try to epitomize classic radio on WRCA 1330 AM. This is Tube Talk.
I keep my eyes
Here's Johnny
wide
Cash.
Open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds, because you're mine. I walk the line. I find it very, very easy to be true. I find myself alone when each day's through. Yes, I'll admit that I'm a fool for you, because you're mine. I walk the line. As sure as night is dark and day is light, I keep you on my mind both day and night. And happiness I've known proves that it's right, because you're mine. I walk the line. You've got a way to keep me on your side. You give me cause for love that I can't hide. For
For you, I know I'd even try to turn the tide. Because you're mine, I walk the line. I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Johnny Cash, thanks for tuning in tonight, gang. Almost time to wander off into the sunset. We appreciate your listenership. Tell your friends. Tell your friends in the radio community. Tell your casual pals, pals who like good music. Fun radio, Friday night, Tube Talk on WRCA, 1330 AM.
Ain't I got the song of the robin? Ain't I got a roof in the sky? Wonder why my heart keeps a throbbing, a son of God's country am I. Ain't I got the plains and the mountains? Ain't there treasures mine if I try? One by one, my blessings I'm counting and counting. A son of God's country am I. I got the sun up in the sky, the streams when I'm dry, the fruit on the boughs of the trees, the clouds bringing me rain, the fields giving me grain. Thanks to the Maker for thee. Ain't I got a loved one who loves me? Kids to make my cares hurry by.
There's a hurrying by.
I may not be in heaven, but I can't be far away. A son of God's country am I. Be in heaven, but I can't be far away. A son of God's country am I. A son of God's country am I.